Welcome to the program for Thursday, June 21st, 2012 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thursday at 3 is always industry chatter, and my guest for that today is Marianne Lucas, Vice President of Business Development and Marketing for GCE. Appreciate you being here today, Mayor. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. Let's start where we always do. Talk about your company and what you do, the elevator speech on GCE for federal clients.
Great. Well, GCE, we'd like to be known as the cloud company. We are one of those companies that, you know, has made a mark of bringing innovative technologies to our federal clients. Most recently, we've launched a big data cloud, and we have some clients on that. And we also have a financial management cloud. So we provide entire financial management suite for our customers, you know, via the cloud. So it's all the infrastructure, all the software, all the services in that model.
What makes a different the different applications and different clouds necessary?
If you look at just those two worlds, the financial management is really like the tool set that the agency would use to manage their finance, manage their accounting, produce the financial reports that they're required to do. So really sort of, you know, managing their spending and looking at that. And looking at that is what the big data cloud gets you. So that gives you a way to, you know, look over massive amounts of data, you know, very quickly in a manner that I talk about consumer level expectations, you know, the same way that we might go to websites in our personal lives. We start bringing that type of experience to our customers via the combination of a big data cloud with, a financial management tool set as well.
The confusion about the cloud and public versus private versus hybrid, is that starting to go away? Is that starting to recede, or are agencies still trying to feel their way through that, do you think?
I guess it kind of depends on what type of application they're looking at and the sensitivity of the information. But yes, I'd say that generally speaking, that was a lot of the more of the earlier hype. You saw a lot of hype about security, and then you saw hype over the, you know, public private hybrid sort of thing. And now it's really turned more, I'm glad to say, into a business discussion, because you can figure out those details. It's really, you know, what problem you're trying to solve, and can the cloud be a solution for you?
What's different about what people perceived when cloud was really being hyped versus that business decision and business case that people are looking at now?
I think the difference is that there are enough people now doing, you know, real things in the cloud. So there's enough sort of a user base of people, because I think that's part of the adoption process. You know, customers need to be able to look at other customers and say, oh, yes, that would work for me too. So you're seeing, you know, enough of a broad adoption. You sort of saw the early cycle at the server consolidation, and then you saw a lot of, you know, in the email sort of, you know, less complex applications in the cloud. And now you're seeing a lot more, you know, solving bigger problems via the cloud.
Are you satisfied that the evolution is proceeding at pace, that agencies are getting comfortable at a rate at which they should, or is it your sense that the government is maybe having a little bit more trouble adjusting than they might should have?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a cloud provider, we, of course, would love for the adoption to move a little faster.
Tomorrow would be good.
Yeah, you know, so you're never going to get me to say that it's ever fast enough. But I think that I'm seeing it pick up, because first you sort of had to socialize and evangelize the idea, and that it really could work for people, and that there was a legitimate business model behind it. And then you saw enough proof points of moving to the cloud for cost savings. We had a customer quote 40% cost savings. So you're seeing that real support behind it. And then, you know, that sort of needs to sink into the acquisition community. So, and that's been some of the efforts that, that OMB and others have been pushing forth. You know, how do you help the sort of acquisition community, you know, purchase the cloud, because you're fundamentally, you know, purchasing a service versus building something from scratch. And at the heart of it, you know, that's the basic premise of moving to the cloud. And that requires putting out a contract, an RFP in a different way, requires managing in a different way. And they have lots of experience, the contracting community, buying services. They buy all kinds of services. It's really just buying technology as a service that has, you know, that's sinking in.
The whole concept of buying anything as a subscription is different, though, than a lot of agencies are used to doing. How are you seeing them adapting to that? The agencies that are doing it well, what are they doing?
Uh, I think that they are using places where they've done it successfully. I mean, as simple as an example as this is cell phone services. You know, cell phone services, they buy tons and tons of devices like that. They manage it via service level agreements. It's a monthly contract. So they have a model that works with it. It's really trying to understand, I'll say, like, where is the line between the old model of, you know, I'm having a custom thing done for me, and the line as a cloud provider, you know, what should my cloud provider do for me? There are certain things you would never expect your cell phone provider to do for you. They do that, you know, behind the scenes. So that's really the point where I think it's at, trying to figure out where that line is.
Okay, so everything that we've talked about so far, where does FedRAMP fit into the puzzle pieces that we've already talked about?
Well, I think the nice thing about FedRAMP is that it really will save the agencies money and quicken the process. So, you know, as we've brought customers onto our cloud, we've had to go through some of the same security processes. And lots of times they can reuse some of the documentation and different things. But you're still starting a process that takes a while to get through. And it costs the government money to do it. And then, of course, the contractor, you know, has to cover their time, too. And most of us in this business would rather not have time and cost on that. I'd rather get customers quickly onto solution and using my service versus, you know, going through that. So I think it is a good idea, and I think it will be an accelerator because it just will cut out some of the churn that you need to go through. You know,
does that make a company like yours more competitive in the marketplace, or does it just give you an advantage, the same advantage it gives everybody else because this process can move more quickly?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how it shakes out. I look at it as I call it the good housekeeping seal of approval. You know, it's really just you've done it, you've checked it off, you've made it a little bit easier for your customers. You know, it's just barely started, so it's going to take a while in the market for a nice core of people to have the certification. But at the end of the day, I think it'll just be like some of these other certifications you get, you know.
I thought the mix of organizations through which you could certify was interesting. The 9 organizations that you could go to one of them and say, here's our product, can you give me a thumbs up or thumbs down? Did you see any significance in that group?
Well, I think they tried to mix it up enough so that there was a variety of vendors in there. There's still a significant amount of work that you do with the agency outside of, you know, the vendor doing some certification there as well, too. So I really didn't read a whole lot into it. It looked like a nice mix of folks who got certification. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how big that market comes to be. The folks that do the certification.
Well, you talked about some of the applications that you do in the cloud. You mentioned big data. You mentioned financial management. Financial management is one of the most important things in government right now. Obviously, agencies, especially in DOD, trying to get a handle on financial management issues just so they know where the money's going,
right,
more than anything, I suppose. What trends are you seeing there? What questions do agencies come to you with when it comes to financial management itself, not necessarily the cloud technology behind
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. In fact, that's an awesome question, because the thing that we've seen that's so interesting is that when you have a solution, you know, like I said, when you move to the cloud and you're not building something from scratch, you're getting a tool set to start with, you've really taken, you know, a lot of the time and expense out of the equation. So you can really get to more modern tools for your folks to use, and you can get to better data. And at the end of the day, that's what your financial management system should bring you, is decision data, how to make better decisions. So for our customers, we're able to do things like show them daily a trend report of the spending across all of their divisions, all their agencies, all their geographic locations, you know, by object class, you know, which is like a spending category, and able to sort of slice and dice the information. And it's not that the information didn't exist before, because, you know, it existed, but it was hard to get to. It took a long time to get to. It wasn't all together in one nice, easy answer. So we found that we're able to allow them to ask much more sophisticated, meaningful questions about their data, rather than just focusing on, you know, did I pay the bill, or is that tool working? It's a next level of analysis.
How willing are agencies to buy and modify a solution that already exists? Are we finally out of the mode of, I'm so special, I have to, it's got to be something that's just for me?
Yeah, I'd say that we're still in that transition. You know?
That's a very nice way to say it.
Yes, and I think that there's, you know, I've always said that there are some things where, you know, the cloud model is not going to work for you. It really is sort of special to your agency. We've always felt that things like financial management, HR, you know, a lot of these sort of ERP areas, you know, the federal government's done a great job of standardizing the processes. Financial management is well defined. So, you know, it should be able to meet the vast majority of their needs. And the agencies will, you know, have to adjust. That's the cost savings of the cloud, is that you have to maybe make some trade-offs and that you don't get everything, but you get everything you needed, but not everything on your wish list.
Well, and that's been the problem for years and years, people tell me, is that agencies just insisted on every single little thing on the list, and the 85% solution just wasn't considered until just recently.
Yeah, and I think that the budget, you know, has been forcing that, which is the natural place to go. You know, when your dollars are starting to shrink and you have to look at where can I more effectively spend my money, you know, you have to start thinking about, you know what, 85-90% or even higher, you know, is really enough. And we can look at how you might get that small gap. But to start off with, you know, it has all the sort of robustness that folks need for the financial management solution. And cost is forcing them to make that decision.
Well, let's talk about how cost is affecting that decision-making process when we come back from the break. My guest is Mira Lucas. She's Vice President of Business Development Marketing at GCE on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a moment.
This week's Experts in Health topic is women's cardiovascular health, featuring Dr. Carol Cardinale, Chief of Cardiology with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, which practices in D.C. and suburban Maryland.
True or false? Heart disease kills more men than women. Actually, that is a widespread misconception. Hi, I'm Dr. Cardinale. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in women, just as it is in men. Heart disease leads to the death of more women than breast cancer does. At greater risk for heart disease are smokers, women who are depressed, and postmenopausal women. Additional risk factors include a family history of premature heart disease, lack of physical activity, high-fat diet, diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. Speak with your physician about screening options. At Kaiser Permanente, we actively screen every member for changes in their cardiovascular health at every appointment.
Dr. Cardinale was recently recognized as a top doctor in Washingtonian Magazine. To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's experts in health, visit kp.org Mid-Atlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
A Pentagon investigation reveals poor judgment and oversight led to the teaching of anti-Islamic material. Materials in a course at Joint Forces Staff College in Norfolk, Virginia, portrayed the U.S. as being at war with Islam. U.S. officials say the war being fought by America is one against terrorists. The instructor, an Army officer, was relieved of teaching duties. Disciplinary action against two officials at the school is being considered. The course was suspended in April. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Supporting our troops has never been more important, and the military's need for strategic procurement decisions has never been stronger. Smart sourcing begins with GSA's multiple award schedules. GSA makes it easier to get what you need, when you need it, on time and on budget. You'll save time and money by reducing costly delays in purchasing services and products with the flexibility and control you need to negotiate better pricing. GSA also provides best value through established contracts with pre-qualified vendors and streamlined access to a wide selection of contractors. You can also create blanket purchase agreements to meet your command's recurring requirements. To find out how GSA's multiple award schedules can help you support your mission, visit gsa.gov/ACQMPM. That's gsa.gov/ACQMPM.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Friday's Federal Drive. Subways and bus stations can be scary. We'll talk with Congresswoman Jackie Speier. She proposes a bill to put more federal intelligence into law enforcement and more attention on mass transit. Plus, everything else might be going wrong for the Postal Service, but at least it's using less electricity and going a little green. Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Marianne Lucas, Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at GCE. We talked before the break about the 85% solution and how it's difficult for some agencies to live with the leftover 15% not doing exactly what they wanted to do. What are some solutions that you see or that you have seen work for that, where an agency can say, well, it's not exactly what I want, but it really does perform everything that I need?
I think there's a couple places that come into play. One is sometimes just an adjustment in the business process at the agency, that the solution can provide the business process that they want, but it might be a little bit different of a path, and the automation process usually comes into play there. You know, maybe they've got a paper process, they're accustomed to doing it one way. Now you've got a tool set and something needs to be adjusted. So it's not even that the tool doesn't provide it. It's just the path might be different. So that's a change. And sometimes that's perceived as a negative because, you know, you have to manage a change. Another way that we've seen that has addressed it is, you know, lots of times folks have legacy systems, and for good reason, they don't want to get rid of all the legacy systems. They might be program systems, you know, grant systems, different things. And you don't need to sort of wipe everything out by bringing in, you know, a new tool. And so lots of times it's just doing some integrations with these tools. We tend to do everything in real time so that you know what funds are in your system at all the times. So lots of times it's just telling folks, like, you can still modernize with the cloud and keep legacy applications and systems that are important to your business process. Those two things can coexist. And that's not always obvious when somebody first looks at the cloud. The sort of first mental thing that people assume is that they got to get rid of everything, and they really don't.
That is a kind of stereotype that I've heard over time when people talk about the cloud is, well, I'm not ready to just start from scratch.
Right.
I'm not ready to just – or I don't have the money. Is the other issue.
Right.
What's the hardest thing about trying to merge a legacy system with a cloud-based system to get them to talk to each other?
Actually, the hardest thing we found is managing the user community. You know, the technical side of it is often perceived, and it is a challenge to make sure that, you know, you've that the systems are integrated in real time and that the information, you know, is accurate. But the bigger challenge is that it produces an impact on the user community. For instance, when we, one of our large clients, we integrated in real time with one of their travel system. And there was now like real time funds check at many points during the process. And people were just simply unaccustomed to getting some of these messages. And it wasn't that there wasn't a funds control check. This was just different. But the thing was, it affected thousands of users. So this real time.
Little help desk issue there,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So this real time integration that was a wonderful thing and all these different funds checks that everybody agreed with in principle caused it. I call it a ripple effect upon a very large user community. And that was actually the bigger challenge for us.
One of the things that I think is interesting about what you say there is just the image that particular terms take on in people's minds and how that affects the way they're willing to think about the way they do business and the change in the way they do business. Because I think when I and most people think of legacy systems, they think of some old clunky thing that's destined to be ripped out and started over. And there are a lot of legacy systems that run around agencies that run just fine, that really do the job well and will for the foreseeable future, and where this kind of interaction and this kind of plug-in capability is really the only thing that's holding them back from continuing on ad infinitum, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. There's an interesting line between, you know, when does it cost you more to maintain a legacy system than you should? Like you said, when is its life just over? Versus how much more life can you get out of it and extend it by modernizing some of the tools around it, which is what you're saying. And I agree with you. You know, there's just a perception that you had to get rid of everything, and it really isn't true. It can extend the life of some of those tools. And we've also found that it often just gets rid of the need for some of those legacy systems you thought you needed, because now with a more modern tool set that does a lot more, we've had customers have been able to, you know, get rid of some of the little cuff systems, you know, get rid of systems via Excel for sure, get rid of some of the cuff systems, and then look at, you know, when they transition out some of the legacy systems or modernize that in line with this. And, you know, you can have two clouds integrated as well.
So. It's an interesting byproduct, because I think that that was not something that even people in your role of providing the cloud service anticipated early on, was the idea that there might be some things that we're not thinking about and that we're not even necessarily selling to government as a potential savings or realignment or streamlining. But some things can go away, as you're talking about.
Yes, yes, yes. We've had some real cases where, I mean, I think the biggest impact has just been, you know, the tendency of all of us to manage outside of the system, to manage, like I said, via Excel or some paper process or whatever it was. And just by offering a very easy to use tool to record things, it's as simple as we have a receipts of good and services module. So now when the government receives something, they go in and they record that they received it. Before, that was probably mostly a paper process, but now there's a nice little screen, captures information, gives you all kinds of details about it. So that got rid of a whole bunch of other, you know, like I said, small systems or paper processes just by having, you know, one simple sort of screen in a tool set.
When you dig into a lot of these issues with a customer, how often are some of the processes that you see justifiable by a business case, and how much of them are, well, this is just the way we've always done it?
Yeah, so one of the other hats I wear is our head of our change management practice, and so I work with the customers as well, and I found that the hardest challenge really has been that change, you know, that people are just very, we all are very, you know, creatures of habit, very accustomed to doing something the same. And I always talk about change management in bite-sized chunks, that, you know, you can walk in with the coolest modern tool and it has all this wonderful functionality. But if somebody's been doing something the same way for 10, 15 years, it's hard to get excited for them about what you're bringing to them. So I've always said that I think change management is a huge part of any transition to a new service, IT service. The cloud doesn't get rid of a change management element. You have to take people through bite-sized chunks. You know, have to show them it. You have to let them get their hands on it. You have to give them training. We set up little sandboxes where they can go and test drive things. And there's just almost never enough change management that you can do to get folks ready for a new tool set. And
let's talk about that when we come back, because as we've talked about a little bit, that's one of the most difficult things in an agency. I think it trumps the technology. I think it trumps the structures of the bureaucracies. I think it trumps just about everything, and that's the mentality, the mindset of the individuals that are involved and their openness or willingness to do something a different way. Is that fair to say, do you
yes.
think?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let's talk about that some more when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Mary Lucas. She's Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at GCE, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What does it take to go from good government to great? When one agency decided to modernize an old financial system, several departments struggled to transition effectively. But one office resolved $718 million worth of systematic financial errors to quickly become an agency-wide model for new system adoption.
Visit myacuity.com/realresults to learn more. Acuity, your vision, our focus.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Pooling together really rewards. Van pools have now been added to the popular Pool Rewards program. If you currently drive alone to work and can carpool at least 2 days a week or form a new van pool, you may qualify for a cash incentive or reduced commuting costs. Visit commuterconnections.org. Click on Pool Rewards to find out more. Need to find others to rideshare with? Commuter Connections provides free ride matching services too. Pool rewards. It pays to rideshare. Some restrictions apply. Visit commuterconnections.org today to get started.
How is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, putting the power of geospatial intelligence in the hands of its users? How does NGA support disaster rescue, homeland security, and warfighter operations? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores those questions and much more with Letitia Long, Director, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, we've proudly served the U.S. Armed Forces community with low-cost life insurance and unique survivor assistance services. We always focus on our members' best interests. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for all military personnel and policies with no war or aviation clauses. Get a free life insurance quote today at AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
At Kaiser Permanente, we carefully select our doctors so you can carefully select your doctors. Our hiring process is so selective, only 1 in 10 doctors who apply make the cut. Yes, we're uber picky. Probably have a little perfectionism complex in there. But by putting our doctors under the microscope, we've discovered some of the greatest medical minds in their fields. And that's led to an even greater medical breakthrough. Drumroll, please. Award-winning care. We've received many of the highest possible rankings in member satisfaction, patient safety, overall quality of care, and more. But we're not the only ones reaping the rewards. Because we carefully select our doctors, you have great doctors to choose from. And with all those great doctors, you think it'd be easy. But try choosing just one for your primary care doctor. We'll let you create your own highly selective process for that. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you thrive. Visit us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by MetLife and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Marianne Lucas of GCE is my guest on Industry Chatter today. You mentioned your interest and expertise in change management. What does that mean exactly? What is, if you had to define change management in a sentence or two, what would that be?
To me, change management is just how do you help people adjust to a change? I mean, I know I've used the same words in there, but it really is, you know, I think for a long time, folks looked at, new systems, whether it was the old model of ERPs or the model of cloud, as a training exercise. But training implies that you're at the end of some process. You know, change management recognizes that there's a process by which people go through to learn something new, and that you have to do it in little pieces at a time, and that's how we learn. You know, you sit down for any class like we did, you know, when we were in school, and it's too hard to absorb 100% of what the teacher teaches you. So you do it, and people absorb, you know, 10, 20%. And the next time you reinforce that, and you give them a little bit more, such that when you have when they're ready to use, in my world, the tool set, big data tool, financial management tool, whatever it is, that they've become accustomed to it. They've seen how their data works in their tool. They've seen how the new business process works. So it's really just to help people sort of go down the mental exercise of seeing themselves using this new thing.
Is change management an art or a science or a combination of both?
Oh, I'm a political science person by trade, so that's the great question about political science. I think it's all basically an art. You know, there's some tools that you can use that are tried and true, and I think we do a good job of that. But a lot of it is just trying to understand a specific agency. You know, what is their experience? Like one of our customers came off a 25-year-old system. You know, for them, the change was enormous because they had no experience with a modern tool set. So it was a very big change. Other folks that are using a modern tool, it's less of a change. You know, folks that are used to the sort of service provider model that the cloud gives you, you know, less of a change there for you too. So there's enough science behind it that you know what you have to achieve, and there's methodologies and tools to use, but it's a bit of an art to just figure out, you know, what does an agency need, and then what do people within the agency need? You know, some of the folks that are, you know, out of college have become very accustomed to sort of like a video CBT type learning, because that's just the way that they think now. The rest of us are more accustomed to sitting down in a classroom and doing a hands-on. So some of it's just figuring out, you know, even your audience at the agency, what's the best way for them to absorb it. And it's not going to be the same.
So here's what I'm a little unclear on. You mentioned your client with the 25-year-old system, and you said they don't have any experience with modern tools. And I can understand that. You've been working a system a particular way for 25 years. You have people who have been there for a tremendously long period of time who haven't done it any other way. I get that. But I also hear from vendors and from agencies, people are clamoring for new technology. They want to do things in a different way. They want to bring their own devices to work and put them on the network. So it seems to me that there's a little bit of a dichotomy there that I'm not sure I see connecting at some point. Where do we have a group of folks who really insist on doing things the old way, or would like to continue doing things the old way, and a totally separate group of people over here who want to try new things and are more adventurous and are more technologically advanced, with some kind of a division in the middle? Or is it a lot more nuanced than that somehow that I'm not seeing?
Yeah, I think you've definitely got a lot of folks that sit on the, you know, the IT side of the shop that see the promise of some of these new technologies. And we've seen a lot of direction recently from OMB with the mobile strategies. So they see that there's a lot of folks that want access to these tools in a different way. I think it's almost like the same answer we went back to a second. That takes a little while, I think, to sink into some of the large user communities. You know, again, it's the, you know, working on a mobile device, having a shiny new tool, it's just a change that you have to slowly introduce people to. The interesting thing is that once you get them through that process, they usually are the first people that do start clamoring for the, oh, now I want that new mobile service, or now I want that, you know, that the easier way to get to my data with like that big data service. So once you get them there, they're usually very excited about it.
The concept of big data is something I want to come back to later on. You mentioned that briefly, but what is the hardest nut to crack in your experience when change management is necessary in an agency, and what's difficult to get people to do from the leader's perspective?
I think the best thing that overcomes difficulties is the stakeholder buy-in. And I know people talk about this, but it is so critical to have somebody high up at the organization, you know, behind this change and telling people why they need to do it. Because I can, till the end of the day, you know, explain to people at one of the agencies, like, why is this value? What value am I bringing to them? Well, the great things about my solution. But you need someone senior at that organization who's going to sort of push it forward. And the hardest part is getting that momentum. You know, and if you get that momentum and you get a steady stream of people sort of behind it, people sort of come on board. So you find that when you go in, you got to get some stakeholders, you got to get some sort of, you know, power user groups together, get enough people that you get a nice wave of people excited and sort of people come on board. But so getting past that inertia is always the hardest thing.
One final thought about change management. My personality is very much black and white, either this way or that way, and that's the end of it. Why is that approach to change management, just start doing it this way today, why is that wrong? Why doesn't that work?
I think it's because people can sort of, you can sit in a training class and you can just tell them, hey, this is how you have to do it. But it's the classics, like shoving a rule down a teenager. You know, I mean, they're not going to adopt it unless they sort of buy into the reasons they have to do it. So like you said, as much as I'd love to just walk in and say, you know, this is the way you're going to do it, you know, unless people sort of internalize, understand why they're going to do it and get comfortable with the tools, you know, you're not going to achieve your objective. And the more successful you are at change management, the smoother transition to a new system you have. If you don't address the problem up front, you're just going to have new problems when people are using the tools.
So how does that work on the agency or cross-agency level when, say, OMB puts out a directive and this is how it will be done from now on? What goes along with that, or what should go along with that maybe that isn't, for effective adoption and implementation of something like that? And it can be within an agency, too.
Yeah, well, I think, like you said, there's sort of a change that will come down the road. There's maybe some sort of policy or system impact you need to have. And like one very tangible example was the 15-day quick pay for small businesses that came out. So, you know, as the cloud service provider, you know, we very quickly built that functionality into it. And then we needed to go and explain to the customer what we'd done, work with the customer on the most effective way to achieve it, and then roll out that change very quickly. So it's a very, you know, that could be a slow curve or a very fast curve. Luckily, we've made it a very fast curve to roll out those changes.
Marian Lucas is Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at GCE, my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll talk about big data, which we've broached so far, but we'll get into it a little bit more when we come back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Cloud First Report, presented by the cloud computing experts at GTSI and HP.
The Federal Aviation Administration has signed a deal to move 60,000 of its employees to the cloud. The contract will also support 20,000 workers at the Department of Transportation. The 7-year, $91 million agreement will migrate the FAA to a cloud system using Microsoft's Office 365 software as a service suite for email, collaboration, calendaring, and other online productivity apps. For its implementation, FAA settled on a private cloud model.
Public, private, hybrid? The options for moving to the cloud are many, and mandated transition deadlines are right around the corner. Industry leaders GTSI and HP have established a cloud center of excellence in Herndon, Virginia, specifically focused on navigating the cloud options available to agencies and to help you decide on what approach is best for your requirements. Get your head in the cloud. Contact a GTSI HP cloud computing expert and reap the benefits of increased operational efficiency and decreased program costs. Email hpccoe at gtsi.com today.
Arming your home with a security system gives you peace of mind. Now get peace of mind for your wallet. Ackerman Security will monitor your system for $18.95 a month.
I was paying too much for monitoring, so I made the switch to Ackerman Security's Certified Monitoring Center. Now I'm paying only $18.95 a month with no cost to switch.
Call today and get 2 months of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring free. 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
David Sims is the Interior Department's Debarment and Suspension Program Manager.
No, I wouldn't call this a Grim Reaper. This is a business decision. It's just like what anybody does with their own money, because we're all taxpayers and respondents are taxpayers. And we're not about putting people out of business. It's really about ensuring that the government has its potential partners, you know, responsible players.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Marian Lucas is Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at GCE, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Big data is a buzzword, or turning into a buzzword, I guess. And we've talked a lot about cloud computing so far, Mayor, this hour. And I wonder if you have thoughts about how we can prevent big data from becoming a buzzword where you hear so much talk about it, but people are still unclear about what it is. How do we, because that was a problem we had with cloud. I mean, we went through this period of maybe a year or 18 months where it was out there and the name was such that people said, well, I don't really know what that means and it's new and weird and I don't get it, and on and on and on and on. And it really, I think, hampered the ability of agencies to cut through it and say, let's, as we talked about, let's develop a business case for this and really figure out how to make it work, et cetera, et cetera. How do we get around that with big data? Because I think of just like a huge speech balloon over somebody's head with all of this stuff moving around in
right,
it.
Right. Well, the great thing about big data is that, like you said, some of the buzz around here and maybe some of the enterprise buzz might be a little bit new. But luckily, you know, the giants of the internet industry have proven this model. I mean, they built it. It powers their entire organizations, you know, the Facebooks, the Yahoos. It is sort of a beyond a proven technology, the big data world. And there's, you know, so many companies that are now coming into that big data space offering this. So the big data movement already presumes the cloud. It presumes all that to be true. You know, our big data solution has, of course, a cloud sitting in it with some tools on it. So because we took a while, like you said, to get the cloud adoption, you know, in my mind, that's all behind us. Now we have industry giants who use this to power their entire revenue model. So in my mind, there's no reason to have an objection. And we've got enough real, you know, cases of a big data cloud in production. You know, we have one that we just went live with for a government customer. So it's already, I'm hoping that people see that it's past that point. It's used by, you know, the huge banks of the world. I mean, it's already proven.
Is the problem that agencies haven't yet figured out what to do with all this information that they now have access to?
Yeah, I think it's just a sort of a natural cycle. You know, I look at the big data world as the BI world that never quite happened or wasn't easy for the end user. So now you have, you know, a very inexpensive way of putting a lot of data into a tool. You know, that's the promise of the big data. It needs to be inexpensive and you need to have a good tool set to get on top of it. And that tool set needs to be able to be used by a lot of users, not just a few people who are sort of trained on how to use some sort of specialized tool. So I think there's just going to be a little bit of adoption. You know, we're seeing people be interested in prototypes, little pilots. You know, give me a chunk of your data. Let me see how it performs in the tool. And once people start seeing how their data is so easily presents and the question of, I've got so much data just goes away. People have been sort of held by what they see as a big quantity of data, and this eliminates that problem.
Well, I'm going to talk about that later on in the afternoon with another guest, and that's one of the questions that I have. Is there just a paralysis problem here where people realize the scope of the data that they have and can't even wrap their heads around what do I do with it all? What's even possible for me to do with it all?
Right, and I think that's a good thing. I think people don't quite in the sort of enterprise and government space understand all the value that big data can do for them because they've sort of been hampered by a world of reports. You know, we talk about how, you know, the world typically is somebody has a sophisticated question. They have to have somebody who understands the BI reporting tools go write it. There's a whole churn and a whole cycle that happens here. Now you're talking about that data sitting there. It's with tools. It's a real time thing. You can just go in and ask questions. And it is such a big leap forward that there's an adoption that has to happen there.
How do you quantify, if I'm an agency and I know, I say, okay, I have all of this stuff and here's a list of five potential uses for the data that I have. How do I prioritize? How do I quantify? How do I figure out where to start? How do I even know what I need to ask you to get you to help me to be able to get the information out of what I've got to answer that punch list?
Well, I know a lot of the questions that we've been seeing agencies ask and other and customers as well is trying to figure out better where their money is being spent because they know the budget crisis is happening. And so they don't always have a good idea about, you know, which of my programs is a high performer, which is a low performer, which of my agencies is spending higher in a category than another agency. So like you said, they have these questions and they're sort of age old questions. It's just a matter of taking that data, putting it into more sophisticated, easy to use tool and getting the answer out of it. And so I, like I said, I really start with people saying, you know, let's take a little subset of your big data. Let's put it in a tool and you can start seeing what it's like to be able to ask questions of it. And it's just, it's much simpler than people think it should be. And of course, this is, you know, the idea here again is folks like us that have the big data cloud, you know, it's usually not in anybody's best interest to go and build all the infrastructure and build the tools. And again, like I said, because people now get the cloud model, they get that, oh, yes, perhaps I shouldn't go and build my own big data cloud. My own big data. I can just give you some data and I can see what it looks like in the tool. And then I get to say, yes, indeed, you can give me the data. And, you know, here it is. And let me show what it looks like. And so it almost is, like you said, a little bit of a not a disbelief, but a little bit of a surprise that it actually is that easy to start using a big data solution.
We've talked a fair amount about what exists today and a little bit about where we've come from. I want to talk about where we might be headed next, and I'll explain why in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Mayor Lucas of GCE, my guest on Industry Chatter today, and we'll be back in a moment.
Recently, United Healthcare was selected to serve the families in the TRICARE West region, and we want those who we will serve to know more about us. United Healthcare is part of a company of over 115,000 people, serving over 75 million Americans nationwide. Our people work hard to be a trusted healthcare partner for all of our members, and we're proud of our track record of quality service. The American Medical Association ranks us number one in claims processing accuracy among the seven leading commercial health insurers for 2011. J.D. Power & Associates names us number one in its employer satisfaction survey. And Fortune magazine has named us its most admired health insurer 2 years in a row. As provider for the members of TRICARE West, our people will work every day to put our unmatched provider network, industry-leading innovations, and passion for service to work for you. We are United Healthcare. And for us, the chance to help military families isn't just a job, it's an honor. United Healthcare.
Here's Danette Campbell, Patent and Trademark Office Telework Coordinator, on a recent client virtualization solutions panel discussion sponsored by GovConnection, HP, and VMware.
The 2010 Telework Enhancement Act is driving federal telework policy, and I think agencies are taking a good long look at teleworking to prepare for continuity of operations, return on investment associated with real estate cost avoidance, certainly employee attrition and retention. If you have a viable telework program, that really does position your agency to be an employer of choice.
VMware View helps federal IT leaders comply with the Telework Enhancement Act, meet COOP initiatives, and solve the access control dilemma. HP Thin clients have been certified to work with VMware View Manager. This end-to-end solution allows you to simplify desktop management, reduce costs, improve data protection, and promote compliance. GovConnection is your one-stop resource for all of your IT projects. Visit govconnection.com/federalVDI for more details today.
I'm Kurt Kraus, General Manager of the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia. Recent overspending by the GSA has triggered drastic meeting and travel restrictions that are short-sighted. The fact is, most government departments spend sensibly. Training is critical for every organization's success, including the government and our military. These sweeping changes will negatively impact our industry and the economy. See my letter in the Washington Post advocating long-term solutions, not short-sighted reactions. And for responsible meeting options, visit conferencecenter.com.
Paid for by the National Conference Center.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Mayor Lucas of GCE, my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've talked about the present a lot, and we've talked about the past some today. I want to talk about the future here, because people at agencies tell me my biggest problem or one of my biggest challenges on a personal level is I'm focused on now, 6 months from now, a year from now, and I don't have as much time as I would like to pull back and think conceptually about 2 years out, 3 years out, 5 years out. So given the areas of expertise of yours that we talked about today, what should I be thinking about? What trends should I be looking at, potentially anticipating in like the 2 to 5 year window?
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting trends to look at is you know, taking a good look at your IT spending, you know, looking to see, you know, what percentage of your organization, of your money is going to that, and looking at these new technologies, and seeing, you know, how they might benefit you. I was really happy with a lot of the push from OMB, with the Mythbusters and trying to make sure the industry and the government spoke. And, you know, I'm a big advocate for just exchanging information and looking to see what's out there. And
is Mythbusters working?
Well, I think it helped. You know, it needs to create an environment where folks are talking, where folks like me are coming in with an idea, letting the government see what exists. You know, my cloud, someone else's cloud, some other service, letting them see what would work for them, and then letting us get the best price to the government and to keep the service modernized. But unless you take a look at what's there, and I appreciate the fact that it takes time. You know, you have to take time to go looking. But I think there's just so much going on with technology right now. It's just such a cool time to be in the sector, and there's so much value it can bring and so much cost savings, because I've seen it directly. I've delivered those massive cost savings to the customer, so they know it, that they can drive value. So like you said, it's hard when you're sort of trying to manage in the short term and manage through this budget crisis to take a little step back. But I think that given the state of technology with all the mobile services, like we said, the big data, all these other services, they have to step and see where that fits. You know, there's a lot of talk about enterprise architecture and different things. This needs to get into that conversation.
I really have enjoyed having you here today. I have some more questions, but we're out of time, and I'm grateful for you being here. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Mayor Lucas is Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at GCE. You can hear this conversation archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll put it up later this afternoon. And hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose is coming in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.